12th Street. Thank you, choir. It's good to hear that song, Going Home. And isn't heaven the place that we long for, each one of us? I hope you do. Although I do enjoy life on this earth. I do enjoy time with my family, but that day when we see Jesus, that'll be a great, great day. Well, this morning we have several announcements to go through. And first of all, Nate, I'm going to need your help with this one. Why don't you come up and just tell us what the youth are doing this afternoon? Nate has one fan.
So, right after the potluck, the youth are going to
go to Hastings, where we are going to be lazy and go down the river. It's the Thornapple River. And so I already RSVP'd, so we have 26 total going. And we're just going to have a good time on the river. I did post a picture of some whitewater rapids tubing, but that was just to scare them. But we'll be tubing, and I'm looking forward to just sitting back, and hopefully we have some sunshine and playing around down the river. So the tubing trip itself is 2.5 to 3 hours, so it's going to be a nice, relaxing time. So that's what we're doing this afternoon.
All right. Thank you, Nate. Now, he gained a fan, see? That was good. That was good. Go work on that. Nate said, we do have a potluck after the service today. And even if you didn't wear a Hawaiian shirt and you didn't bring food, we will have plenty of food. So we want to invite all of you to stay for that. It's a Hawaiian theme. And we have an Awana meeting for the 2018-2019 year. And that will be on August 26th. That's next Sunday, following the morning service. And here's what we need some help with Awana this year. If you are capable of listening to Bible verses, okay, we set the bar really low, okay? So if you are capable of listening to Bible verses, we need your help. Because a big part of Awana is the children learn memory verses. And then they quote those memory verses. And we need people to listen to those and help them and get them through their book. So if you're willing to help with that, we also need leaders that can get them from A to B, help with games, help with council time. So if you'd like to help with Awana, the meeting is next Sunday following the morning service. Our back-to-school backpack distribution will be next Sunday right after the morning service. Now, you're going to notice a lot of the backpacks will not be taken next Sunday, because the schools do a lot of backpack giveaways. It was recommended to us that we save what is left, and then in January, do it again, because nobody does it in January, and their backpacks are worn out, and they ran out of school supplies. And so we were told that in January is when there's a really big need, because that's when the students don't get the help. And so we will be hanging on to those things and distributing them in early January. August is our World Mission Coin Month, and next Sunday is the last Sunday to collect those coins. And so if you've been filling up one of those, their treasure cases, that will purchase one audio Bible, when it gets to its land that it will, the language that it's meant to be made. I'm really speaking clearly here. Once it gets to its destination, it will reach 144 people. And so we want to make sure that we get as many of those out as we can. Also, we have the Allen family that will be with us in 2 weeks. And they'll be here on Sunday and Wednesday in September, September 2nd and September 5th. And on September 5th, there will be a free spaghetti or chicken Alfredo dinner here at the church at 5:30, and then the Allens will have their concert at 7. And then starting September 12th, we want to encourage everybody to get involved on Wednesday nights. We will have something here for every age group. We'll have Awana. We have our youth group meets on Wednesday nights. A college group will begin meeting, and then we'll have a meeting for adults. And the curriculum that the adults will be going through is called Crisis 101. It's handling every event that you can basically imagine in life through a biblical perspective. So I'd like to encourage you to plan on in September. making Wednesday night a priority for your family and being here all together. And then there's a baby shower on September 16th. And so if you could make sure you have that on your calendar. And then on the 22nd of September, we have our tag team event. Tag team stands for 12th Street and Galilee Baptist Churches Together. And we're together, we're teaming to do an outreach in Bronson Park. And if you haven't been asked to do anything for that and you haven't signed up, look at the Welcome Center, sign up. We can get a job for you. And if you don't have anything to do on that day, just come out and enjoy the fun. We have bounce houses, face painting, food. I know all you adults are excited about getting your face painted. Just lots of fun things for the family. But then also our choirs will be singing a few combined numbers. And then Pastor Scott from Galilee and myself will be preaching a combined message. And so we're really looking forward to demonstrating to the city of Kalamazoo that in Jesus Christ, there is no differentiation, no separation in race, that we are all one in Jesus Christ. And so I'm excited about that opportunity. Well, at this time, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, you are a great God. You've promised us heaven, our final home. I thank you, Lord, that that is something that we hold on to. It's part of what we expect because you have said that it will take place. And so, God, as we look forward to heaven, help us as we live here on this earth to understand what you want from us every day. And as the teens are able to go out and float down a river, I pray they'd have a lot of fun together. But also, Lord, that they would just build great bonds. I pray that as we have a dinner this afternoon together as a church, that we would make some good connections with others and have great time of fellowship. But Lord, as we spend this time and this hour together, I pray that our hearts would be full as we sing praises to you, as we have a chance to think about the scriptures. And even though the passage this morning talks about a day that is an awful time on this earth, I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to fear that day because we will not be here. Thank you, Lord, that as we talk about the day of the Lord, that we have a great promise that all those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will already be with you in heaven. And so, Lord, as we have this time together today, we want you to be great. We want your name to be praised. So receive all the glory, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to open with I Am Free. Through you, the mute will see. Through you, the Yes, I am free.
I am free.
Through you the kingdom comes. Through you the battle's won. Through you I'm not afraid. Through you the price is paid. Through you there's victory. Because of you my heart sings. I am free. Yes, I am free. I am free to run.
I am free.
I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
I am free.
I am free. I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
I am free.
I am free.
Yes, I am free.
Oh, I am free.
I am free. I am free.
my feet, I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us. In us. We have hope that his promises are true. In his strength, there is nothing we can do. Peace we know, there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The same power that commands the dead to wake lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us. In us, greater is he that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails.
We stand here in victory.
Greater is he that is living in me. He's conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand here in victory. Oh, victory. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today, Lord. Father, we thank you for the power that you give us through you. And Father, we just pray you be with our pastor this morning as he brings a message. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would the ushers come forward, please?
Your blessing upon this service and upon our pastor. Lord, I pray that we dedicate this time to you. Thank you for the many blessings you've given us, the way you constantly watch care over us. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. In Daniel chapter 3, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were brought before King Nebuchadnezzar because they refused to bow down to his idol when the horns blew and the psalteries rang. They were brought before him, and he said, okay, I'll give you one more chance. We're going to ring the bell. We're going to play the music. As soon as you hear it, you bow down, we'll be good. And Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, you are a great king. We can't do it. We will not do it. And they said, we know you have power over us because the king threatened to throw them in a fiery furnace if they did not bow down to this image. They said, we know you can do that, and you can. And the king said, you know, what God is going to save you from this? And they said, our God is able to do that. But even if he doesn't, we will praise him anyway. We will not bow down. In the book of Job suffered greatly, and Job said, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And then in the New Testament, we hear Paul talking about the affliction that he suffered from, that he asked the Lord to take from him. And what did the Lord answer? Sorry, you got to live with that. But Paul said, I will trust him anyway. My hope is in him. But we have troubles. We have afflictions. We have worries, problems, sometimes serious health issues. Young people, you guys deal with ups and downs and mood things and heartaches and lots of things in school. I think our challenge from God is to say, no matter what, we will praise him. No matter what. They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And there's times when I'm losing bad. I've seen people hurt when they cry. I try to remind them it'll be all right, but right now, oh, right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing, a little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing, it is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you my days. Jesus, I will cling to you, come what may, 'cause I know you're able, and I know you can. I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow, and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope
for that, Gerard. At this time, we'll dismiss our children to children's church. And as the children are heading to children's church, we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. An old preacher once gave me this great words of wisdom, and I'd just like to share them with you. He said to me, there's a fine line between a long, drawn-out sermon and a hostage situation. And so I'll try to keep it short this morning, okay? There's a little girl from Alabama, and she went to church for the first time ever when she was visiting her parents in Michigan. When the pastor announced it was time for the Lord's Supper, she was excited and she was hungry. The deacons passed out the wafer of unleavened bread and the cup. The child watched in confusion as her grandparents received a small wafer and a small plastic cup of juice. She could hardly wait for the service to end to tell her grandma that Jesus was definitely not from Alabama. How do you know that, dear? Asked her grandma. Because that was the poorest supper I've ever seen, she said. Mama would have at least given everybody some cornbread and sweet tea. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 11 together. It says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunk are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Let's review last week for just a brief second. Last week, we talked from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We talked about an event called the Day of Christ. Okay, the Day of Christ. The Day of Christ was this is the coming of the Lord with the trumpet sound. The dead in Christ rise first, And then the living in Christ are caught up together with the Lord in the clouds. This is a great day for the believer. That's the day of Christ. It's the coming of the Lord where he gathers his saints up to himself. Now in chapter 5, we're introduced to another day. And this is called the day of the Lord. Now the day of the Lord is a period of time filled with destruction, vengeance, and wrath of God. And you're sitting there and you're going, that's awful. Yes, everything we're going to talk about today about the day of the Lord is awful. It's wretched. Now, the day of the Lord, it's a period of time. It's not just a regular day. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. This is just a demonstration that that phrase, day of the Lord, refers to a period of time. Okay, so day of the Lord doesn't literally mean 24-hour period. It's just referring to a period of time. In 2 Peter 3, verse 10, just a couple of verses later, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We just read about that here in 1 Thessalonians 5. It comes like a thief. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So, in Peter, he gives us the beginning of the day of the Lord and the end of the day of the Lord. So the beginning of it is, it comes like a thief in the night. It surprises, and we'll talk about this more in a minute, the unbeliever. But then it ends with the world burning up in a fervent heat. That's a long period of time there between those two events. This is the day of the Lord. It's a period of time of God's vengeance, his wrath. In Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 6, it tells us this, howl. Okay, when you're told to howl, that's in pain and agony or in warning of something bad that's happening. Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Isaiah 13 verse 9 says, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay hold or to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. You get a sense for the day of the Lord here? It's a day of anger, destruction, wrath. In Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 8, it says, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. In Jeremiah 46:10, says, for this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries. And then in Joel chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. In Zephaniah 1:18, says, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make him a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. All right, this day of the Lord sounds awful, right? It is. And as bad as you can imagine it, it will be worse. The day of the Lord. So let's think about what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, you have no need, brethren, that that I write unto you about the seasons, okay? And we're all going, no, tell us, when does everything happen, right? Tell us, when do these things? And he says, you don't need me to worry about that. Here's what you know. The day of the Lord comes as a thief. Here's a promise that's given to us, though, in 1 Thessalonians 5. In verse 9, believers in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus are not given to God's wrath. So the day of the Lord is God's wrath. We, as believers, are not given to his wrath. The second thing we see about the day of the Lord, The day of the Lord is a period of physical and spiritual darkness never before experienced on the earth. In Amos chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord." Okay, the day of Christ, we desire that. We look forward to it. Can't wait for him to come back and claim us and take us to heaven. But the day of the Lord, do not wish for this day. Do not hope for this day. Don't desire for the day. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. And then in verse 20 in Amos 5, "Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it?" So the day of the Lord is darkness. Now here's the promise we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 7. The promise is this, that believers in the death and resurrection of Jesus are not in darkness, but in light. We are not of the night, we are of the day. So now there's a third thing we need to understand about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord surprises those who do not believe in Jesus. That's why it's like a thief, because he surprises them. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Okay, fortunately, I've never had to, and never will, experience labor pains. All right, what Paul is describing here is these labor pains come on harsh and sudden. And that's how this will take place, this day of the Lord. But it will surprise those who are not believers. They say peace and safety. Here's how they are saying peace and safety. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, it talks about this. It says that the prince, who's the Antichrist, he confirms a covenant with many for 1 week. And so while they're saying peace and safety, while they're making covenants of peace, while they think that everything's fine, we're going to be good, then sudden destruction will come upon them. In Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 30, we don't have time to read through that this morning, but you can read that on your own. Essentially what's happening is he talks about in the days of Noah, Noah's building an ark, and what are the people doing? Getting married, having parties, going on with life as if nothing's going to happen. Right before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by fire, the angels came and pulled Lot and his family out. And what did the rest of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah do? Went on with life as if nothing was going to happen. And this is how the day of the Lord will be. It'll come upon the people who do not believe, and it will hit them hard, and it'll hit them unexpectedly. So here's the third promise. 1 Thessalonians 5:4 gives us, this is an awesome promise. Believers in the gospel are not surprised by the day of God's judgment. They know what is going on. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that that day should overtake you as a thief. Okay. We've had this taught so wrongly, especially in the United States, for years and years and years. Okay. The scriptures do not tell us that the day of the Lord overtakes the believer as a thief. We are not surprised by it. Okay. We're not of the darkness, we're of the light. God has not appointed us to wrath. The day of the Lord is a day of wrath. You know why we're not surprised? Because we aren't here. We're not here when the day of the Lord comes. So let's go to the fourth point. The day of the Lord takes place after the sixth seal is opened in heaven. Now I need you to really think with me for a minute, okay? I know, it's Sunday morning. You're like, oh, just tell me what to think. No. You need to think for yourself for a moment. If you can understand the sixth seal in Scripture, really the whole rest of prophecy kind of falls together around this sixth seal. The sixth seal is the event. It takes place in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. And it says, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." So the sixth seal is an event that takes place where the people on earth observe that the sun and the moon go dark. There's also an earthquake that accompanies it. That's the sixth seal. Really big event. The reason we need to understand this, in the book of Joel, it talks about the day of the Lord. And in Joel chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, it talks about it. We're going to go to Joel 2:31. It says, the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, exactly what Revelation 6:12 says that the sixth seal is. You're going, okay, sixth seal, this doesn't make any sense. Jesus has the scroll in heaven. And every time he peels back one of the seals that's holding the scroll shut, a corresponding event takes place on earth. So the sixth seal means that he's opened 5 different things, right? Because he gives us numbers so that we can understand the order. And now he's to the sixth thing. And he peels back the sixth seal. The event that takes place on earth is the sun goes dark, the moon turns dark red like blood, and there's an earthquake. And in Joel 2:31, it says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. There's a marker that God gives. This is one reason that it won't overtake us as believers like a thief. Because he will put a sign in heaven that before he pours out his wrath, before the day of the Lord comes, the sun and the moon go dark. So you see the sun and moon go dark and you're still on this earth, you know God's wrath follows. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So we have an Old Testament and a New Testament witness to the fact that before the day of the Lord, the sun will go dark and the moon will go dark, right? It's pretty simple to understand, right? Okay? So the sun goes dark, the moon goes dark, and then after that, we don't know how long after, but after that is when the day of the Lord will take place. So the day of the Lord, God's wrath, is not poured out on the earth until after Jesus opens that sixth seal in heaven. Let me give you a great promise that's given to us here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. Okay? In verse 9, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, that's what last week's passage was about. And if you are reading this epistle, this letter through the Thessalonians, you wouldn't have stopped at the end of chapter 4 because there were no chapter breaks. You would have just kept reading. And so he writes in chapter 4 and says, hey, I want to tell you about the people who are asleep or dead so that you don't have to be hopeless about what will happen to them. He goes on to say, they'll be caught up first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet them in the air. And so here's in chapter 5, he goes back to that and he says, whether you're awake or whether you're asleep, here's the thing. You believe in Jesus Christ. That we will live together with him. Wherefore, comfort one another. Again, the second time talking about this, he says, comfort yourselves and edify one another, even as also you do. So here's the promise. The day of Christ happens before the day of the Lord. So let's review. The day of Christ is when he comes and gathers together the believer. Everybody with me? What is the day of Christ? When he comes and gathers the believer. The day of the Lord is when he pours out his wrath on the earth. So the day of Christ, he comes and gathers his believers, happens before he pours out his wrath. The Lord comes and gathers his elect before he pours out his wrath on the earth. Matthew chapter 24 gives us a little bit more insight into all of these things. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven, of the heavens, shall be shaken. So here in Matthew 24, Jesus is teaching on the exact same thing that we're talking about. The Bible's not complicated about this. It actually uses the same phrases to help us understand it. So the sun going dark and the moon going dark, what is that called? The sixth seal. Okay? The sun going dark and the moon going dark is the sixth seal. So Jesus here, he says immediately after the tribulation is the sixth seal. So you're going, whoa, after the tribulation? Wait a minute, I got a problem with that. Here's why. We have been taught the wrong definition for tribulation. Go back and read books from over 200 years ago, and they define tribulation 100% differently than books written in the last 200 years. You read books that were written over 200 years ago, they talk about tribulation as everything that they were going through. People dying because of their faith. People persecuted because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what tribulation is. In fact, as we looked at chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4 here in 1 Thessalonians, we read about the tribulation, the distress, and the affliction that the church in Thessalonica faced because of their faith. Folks, that's what tribulation is. We'll go more into that when we get to 2 Thessalonians. In 5 weeks, when we get into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we start looking at that and studying that, we will see that the tribulation comes directly from the persecution of the believer who will be forced to choose live for Jesus or die for your faith. There's no other way. And there are people that, if they're saved, will be killed during that time at a tremendous, harsh rate. That's not God's wrath. That's called tribulation. The early church went through it all the time. We live in America, so we don't. We have religious freedom here. Someday in America, we will lose our religious freedom. And we will suffer, like they do in other countries right now, tribulation for our faith. So that's the tribulation that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 24. He's not talking about God's wrath, because it says immediately after the tribulation, the sun and moon are darkened. Sun and moon darkened, that's the sixth seal. We know that it's after the sixth seal that God pours out his wrath on the earth. Okay? Here's the other thing that we should know. Matthew 24, 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You can read Mark chapter 13. Verses 24 through 27 says the exact same thing. So here's what we need to understand. We have a period of time called tribulation. In fact, I think I put in your bulletin an order of events. I don't know if that's on the slides or not, but there's an order of events that I give you. The first in the order of events is the tribulation, okay? Not God's wrath. Now, a lot of people for the last 200 years have been teaching that tribulation is God's wrath, okay? Well, they're wrong with their definition. But if that's what you believe the tribulation is God's wrath, then we're going to have to move that somewhere else. But Jesus said after the tribulation is when the sun and moon go dark. And then after the sun and moon go dark, he gathers together his elect. And after he gathers together his elect, then he pours out his wrath on the earth. So the first thing is tribulation, not God's wrath. Second thing, sixth seal, the sun and moon dark, earthquakes. Third thing, day of Christ, the gathering together to Jesus in the clouds. And then the fourth thing, the day of the Lord, that's God's wrath. Now in chapter 24, in verses 32 through 51 in Matthew, Jesus tells a parable. I'm going to tell the parable, okay? And then I'm going to tell you the next parable too in chapter 25. And the reason I want to do this, Jesus is teaching us the same thing that Paul taught in 1 Thessalonians 5. And he teaches it with the exact same timing in the exact same way. So, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 through 51, you'll have to read it on your own. I'm just going to tell it to you quickly. You will know the seasons, Jesus says, because you can look at a fig tree, and when the leaf is tender, you know it's summer. Just like you can do that, you can watch the events on the earth and know that the coming of the Lord is close. And the coming that he's talking about is the coming and gathering from Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31. And he says that you will know, no one knows the day or the hour. You won't know the day or the hour, but you will know the season because he lets us see these seasons take place. Noah was building an ark, and still the people weren't ready for the flood. And that's how it will be in the day of Christ. Watch, because you don't know the day or the hour. But you also won't be surprised like someone who's overtaken by a thief. In fact, Jesus teaches the exact same thing that Paul did. You are not overtaken like a thief. And here's how we know we're not overtaken by a thief. Jesus said that you won't be like those people. If you're prepared, the thief can't come in and overtake you because you are prepared to stand against the thief. And we, as believers, are prepared. So then he says that you should prove your readiness. How do you prove your readiness? Well, he says you should be doing the things that he's told us to do. So then in chapter 25, he talks about 10 virgins. They're waiting for the groom to come. They know that the wedding's taking place very soon because they're all ready. They're all in their garments. They're waiting for the groom to show up. When the groom shows up, then the wedding can take place. So these 10 virgins, they all have oil in their lamps. 5 of them are wise. They bring extra oil because they don't know how long they will have to wait. 5 of them are foolish, and they don't have enough oil. And all of a sudden, they hear the trumpet sound of the groom coming. And so the 5 wise, they get up, they light their lamps, and they follow along in the procession. The 5 foolish are running out to the store to buy some more oil, and they miss the coming of the groom. So they go and they knock on the groom's house, and they say, "Let us in." And he says, "No, you should have been prepared. Since you weren't prepared, you don't get to come in." And then Jesus says this, "Watch, for you don't know the day or the hour that the Son of Man comes." He gives us signs to look for. He gives us seasons where we can see some things that are happening on the earth. 2 Thessalonians 2, he talks more about them to help us be more prepared, but we have to wait till we get to 2 Thessalonians to talk about those. So if we're not ready, it's our fault. So here's the big question this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to return? If you're not, you go, "Well, when I see these other things happen, then I'll be ready." No, you won't. No, you won't, because they didn't in Noah's day. He's building a big old boat in the middle of nowhere with no lakes, no rivers. And they weren't prepared. Sodom and Gomorrah, they had angels come and say, "Get out. God is going to pour fire on this place." And they had to drag Lot and his family out kicking and screaming. You say, "Well, I'm going to wait and be ready then." No, you won't. You need to be ready today. Today is the day of salvation. And if you're not ready now, you won't be ready then. And if you miss his coming, you will face his wrath. If you miss his coming, you can't go, "Oh, I should have believed. I believe now, God." He'd be like, "Great," and he can still save after that. But you will have to stay on this earth as he pours out his wrath on this earth. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, he gives this thought. He says, "Listen, comfort one another with this. Build each other up, because God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation." Receive the salvation that he offers to you today. Jesus died for your sins. He He was buried because he was really dead. And he came back to life so that he could conquer sin and death and offer to you everlasting life with himself in heaven. If you've never received Jesus, you will not join him at his coming. And so today, receive him. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it teaches. And I thank you, Lord, that as it instructs us, it gives us hope. We don't have to fear what happens in the future. We can know that we are spared from your wrath that is going to come. And so, Lord, if there's anyone here who's never trusted in you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that this morning that they would just have the courage to step out of their seat, come up to the front, and let me know that they want to trust you. And Lord, you will save them. And Lord, they don't have to come to the front. I pray that even at their seat, they would just call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to save them, so that they could have eternity with you in heaven. And Lord, I pray for those who do believe. I thank you, Lord, for these promises. I pray that we will be encouraged this morning, that we will be built up in our faith, because we will never face your wrath. We will never have to face the anger, the fierce work of God against this world. I thank you, God, that you deliver us from that. So we do thank you this morning. We give you praise. We tell you that we want to make the most out of this life. So, Lord, until you come, help us to be watching. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song that takes us from the whole gospel. Christ came, he died, he was buried, he rose again, and he's coming back. And if you're not ready for him to come back, I'll be standing here at the front. Come and shake my hand. Tell me you want to trust Jesus. I'd love to talk to you about that. If you know Christ and you're ready for his coming, sing it out to him as a praise for all that our God has prepared for us.
Death.
hold him. The grave could not keep him from rising again. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
Dead in Christ rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet them in the clouds. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are not appointed to your wrath, but we are appointed to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again. So, Lord, to you we sing wonderful praises as we live this week. God, help us to live this week with an understanding that you are returning. Help us to live this week knowing that you have given us freely salvation and that you will come to claim us. So now, unto the Lamb who sits on the throne, who waits to be offered the scroll with the seals, to you be glory and honor and power and dominion. Because you are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great week serving him.